I'm delighted to welcome Peter Ungen, who will be conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra this weekend in the Brahms Violin Concerto and the Symphony No. 11, the year 1905 by Shostakovich. And with so many works by Shostakovich, there are always questions. Is this piece the best movie music he ever wrote that was not intended for film? Is it a requiem? Or is it people standing up and saying, no, what is this?
I think it can be what you'd like it to be, actually. I mean, it's such great music. It's so powerful. Of course, it would make an incredible film score if we could make a film that warranted such extraordinary music even. But it is an enormously powerful statement. It was written in the late 50s, and it was supposed to be for the 40th anniversary of the Revolution, which would have been in 57. He had chosen this theme of January 9th, 1905, often called Bloody Sunday, where this massacre took place in the Palace Square in St. Petersburg. But it probably also refers to the Hungarian failed revolution of that previous year. And so just around the time when he was writing the piece, and it's clearly, looking back on it, it's an anti-Stalin, anti-sort of Soviet work. But it was always coded. It had to be coded for Shostakovich. Otherwise, he would have been taken away like so many other people and destroyed. That he was a very powerful voice throughout his life. However you look at it, whatever you think it refers to, it stands to me at the pinnacle of his expressive power. It's one of the most dramatic experiences you could ever imagine.
There are people in the audience that aren't going to know the story. How do you work with that?
Well, I spend about a minute, maybe 75 seconds, I don't know how long my little speech is, right before it starts. So I set the scene for everybody so they know what each movement says. It's played continuously, but there are four clear movements. And the first movement is simply setting the scene in the early dawn as people move towards the Palace Square. And it's not yet a narrative. It just expresses the atmosphere. And then you hear these quotes of songs, quotes of prisoner songs in the distance. And it intensifies at times. But in the distance, you have these fanfares and these drum rolls, which are very threatening. And you realize that what these people, these innocent people, men, women, children, grandparents, starving people who have nothing. In 1905, absolute starvation going on for the common person in Russia. And the Tsar, of course, was still living in great luxury and everyone around him. So they were going to beg for something in the Palace Square, very innocently. The Tsar wasn't even there. His troops were there. And what happens is they open fire on them. So the second movement then starts to be more of a narrative. It's like you feel the intensity and the kind of insane desperation for these people. And then that turns into an absolutely brilliant climax of despair, just really still defining what these people were feeling. And then suddenly the snare drum comes in, and there's this opening of fire where the troops open fire on people and kill, by all accounts, some number of thousands of innocent people. And that is some of the fiercest music ever written. And then afterwards, when that's finished, you hear the opening material. But this time it sounds almost like it's been destroyed, these eerie trills. So you can feel this almost skeleton-like music that appears. And in the distance, these fanfares reappear sort of resentful, as if to say there's more of that if you dare to demand. You know, it's very, very powerful. And then comes the third movement, In Memoriam, which is a beautiful theme on the violas, really tragic. And that movement then builds into another kind of atmosphere of despair, very different from the earlier ones, where it's just full of yearning, this kind of feeling. And then it closes very quietly. And finally, the last movement, the alarm bell, which is entirely about defiance. It's so powerful and so courageous. Finally, just before the end, there's a statement from the English horn, which is a very extended solo on the English horn. And then the final coda is just phenomenally dramatic. And when it's all over, we create a blackout in the hall because that's really the only response you can have.
It's almost an opera or a film in and of itself.
It totally is, yeah.
How do you handle that opening? You were saying that 15 minutes. I mean, it's almost as much about silence as it is about sound. How do you keep it all together? Is that a challenge? Or?
Yeah, well, it is a challenge, but you know, this is an extraordinary orchestra. They understand and they express music so powerfully. You ask for something just with your expression or with your hands or a combination of both, and it just appears. So they're so good at keeping tension in the air. So that they really speak as one, and holding the tension through the atmosphere is something that they're just extraordinarily fine at.
You have beautiful hands. My husband and I saw you with the Brahms Symphony No. 2, and I thought to myself, wow, he's got beautiful hands. And Jonathan said, he whispered to me, he's got really good hands. Is this something that you work on, or is this just an instinctual thing, you know?
Probably a combination of things, isn't it? It's like, you know, when you see a wonderful dancer, you know that they were born with something like Polunin, you know, or Baryshnikov, or whatever, you know, but they worked as well. So, yeah, it is a combination of those factors. And, you know, I come from a family of sports players, but also skaters. My brother was in the 68 and 72 Olympics as a skater. And my sister was also like number 3 in Britain skater. So, and she was a dancer. I think, so there's been a lot of music and sport. So maybe it was something that we had pride in, or maybe it's something that comes a little more naturally to some families than others, who knows. But thank you. It's important to have expressive hands if you're going to be a conductor, because then you don't have to say so much.
Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Peter Ungen, who is going to conduct the BSO this Saturday, May 18th at the Music Center at Strathmore, and Sunday, May 19th at the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. The program features the Brahms Violin Concerto, performed by the BSO Concertmaster Jonathan Carney, and the Symphony No. 11, the year 1905, by Shostakovich. For tickets and more information, you can visit bsomusic.org.